It is Friday, October 24th, and Keenan Allen is back on the fantasy football radar. But last night's game belonged to Emmanuel Sanders. This is the Fantasy Football Today podcast, brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform to help you build a perfect website every time. I'm Dave Richard. He's Jamie Eisenberg. Jamie, did you start Emmanuel Sanders in all of your leagues?
The two leagues where I own him, I started him, clearly. I don't think anybody's mentioned Emmanuel Sanders at this point. So,
what did you decide to do with Keenan Allen?
I didn't even have him ranked. I didn't think he was going to get more than 5 fantasy points, and that was the lowest guy in my ranking. So I figured the way Denver had been playing against number one receivers and the way that he had not been performing, I didn't expect him to play like that. So I'm excited. I'm glad to see it. I'm happy that he had that game. Even before I had him in start him, sit him, his start percentage was about 35%. Mm-hmm. So nobody was trusting him anyway. And it's good to see that he had a game that I think you can say, okay, this is the guy that I drafted. This is the guy that should show up on a week-to-week basis. And McElfoy got a little bit dinged up in that game. He was able to come back after hurting his shoulder. But think about what happened last year. That was the big spark for Keenan Allen, was McElfoy getting hurt. So if that's an injury that lingers, that'll only help Keenan Allen. But that's the guy last night that I was hoping to see all year long.
I feel a little differently about him. I think he's still the same old schmug that he's been all along. Don't ask me what a schmug is. It's a combination of I don't know what I want to say there. But he's averaged 8.1 yards per catch, had a 19-yard pass completion. The touchdown was just, to me, that was a decision made by the Chargers that, okay, we've got to get this guy in the end zone because it's been so long since we've gotten him in. It was a pick play set by Eddie Royal. It was a nice play, and he got the job done. I just kind of wish we had seen something like that sooner so we could have more confidence in Keenan Allen. But the 13 targets, I think that's rare for him to get that many. I mean, how many games this year does he even have 9 targets?
At least one.
I know he's got the game at Buffalo where he had it, but it doesn't happen every week.
I'll tell you right now.
Okay. And maybe he does have a few more with 9 targets. I'm not sure whether or not he does or he doesn't. I'm disappointed in Brandon Oliver, but I'm more disappointed in the Chargers' offensive line. That was the reason why Oliver couldn't get anything going. 13 carries, 36 yards, and he needed a late run in the fourth quarter just to even get those 36 yards. And then on top of that, he had 7 catches.
He was actually good in a PPR league.
Great for PPR, and that's the good news. But the bad news is that he couldn't average anything on the ground, couldn't get anything going. He had to have had at least 6 plays where he was stopped behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, there was actually he got lucky. There was a 5-yard catch that got called back on a penalty.
And then the next time he got the ball, he was behind the line like by 3 yards.
Yeah, they couldn't get him going. Allen, this is his 3rd game with at least 10 targets. It's his 4th game with at least 9 targets. And it's two in a row with 10 or more. He had 10 against Kansas City.
So what do you think of him moving forward? Do you think that this is going to be a guy that you can count on for double-digit fantasy points every week?
Keenan Allen?
Yeah.
No, I think this is a PPR receiver at this point. And if he scores, you're good. He's basically become, and I hate to say it, he's become Kendall Wright.
Ah, that's an interesting comparison. Because of the lack of touchdowns.
Now, and the lack of downfield plays.
Right, but lots of targets and lots of catches. I think that's a good comparison. I like it. Julius Thomas, 6 targets, 2 catches, 23 yards, 2 straight games. I think you just have to take your lumps with him. And, you know, we've enjoyed some great success from him this season. And, you know, this happens. Elite players, even the best, can't put up double digits in fantasy points every single week. Let's talk about the running backs in Denver real quick. Ronnie Hillman did it again, another 20 carries, 109 yards. He missed out on a ton of touchdowns in this game. Well, there was one where he stepped out of bounds. There was one that was called back from an offensive line. And then Jawan Thompson hijacked two touchdowns. So that could have been 4 that he could have ended up having.
I don't know if he would have, because they converted, I think, at least one or two of those penalties. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he would have gotten.
But okay, yeah, but 2. He could have had. 2. He could have had 1.
Yep. Look, you probably got it too. I got a few tweets about, oh no, I'm getting a Percy Harvin game again, from the Washington game where Harvin had the 3 touchdowns called back.
Yeah.
So,
but he still had all that yardage.
Yeah,
he had 29 yards
you
receiving.
You can be upset, but you can't complain. I mean, at this point, if you're getting double digits from a running back that you picked up off waivers, you should be okay with
Exactly. And clearly, he's the best back for Denver. Monte Ball's value continues to fall through the floor. Peyton Manning, 3 touchdowns, all 3 to Emmanuel Sanders. Let's now talk about Week 8 and the AFC home games. Give me some sound. Give me some music to intro the Week 8 games, Jamie.
Da-da-da-da.
Very good. Thank you, Jamie, for that. That was very rousing. Baltimore at Cincinnati. Bengals, as of now, I don't expect A.J. Green to play. How about you?
No, but we'll find out if he practices.
Right. Now, we talked to Jason Lockenfour, and we're going to reference a conversation that we had with Lockenfour for a couple of guys that we'll talk about during the podcast today. But one is definitely A.J. Green. He thinks there's a chance A.J. Green could play, but play as a decoy. I don't know if I feel comfortable starting A.J. Green, knowing that he might not be at 100% in a game against a good secondary.
Here's the thing. If A.J. Green's playing, you just have to weigh who you have on your team. Mm-hmm. You know, so I would find it a little bit odd that they would make him active and not use him in such an important game for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Why risk it?
I agree.
So I understand, like Jason said, they may make him active just to mess with the Ravens' heads. But, we've been burned so many times by injured guys from a fantasy perspective before. Mm-hmm. Last week was another example of it with Jimmy Graham. So you just have to sort of say, okay, I will take the zero or the 20, knowing that the hope would be somewhere in between and understanding that, okay, is it – I'm trying to think of somebody that I don't like this week.
Mm-hmm.
Kendall Wright.
Okay.
Kendall Wright could be, I don't want to say I don't like him, but Kendall Wright could be 6 fantasy points, could be 12, could be 4.
Mm-hmm.
There's no real gauge for him.
It feels like it's closer to 6 and 4, though.
Right.
Just knowing rookie quarterback.
I would play Green over Kendall Wright.
Okay.
I won't know if I would do it over Devontae Adams.
Right, because we like Adams in the
But I'm just saying, you know, like that type of situation.
Sure.
You know, where a guy can probably get you 7 to 10, that type of thing, I'd probably play the 7 to 10.
Are we expecting a similar game then from Mohamed Sanu from what he had last week if A.J. Green is out?
No, I would say you're probably getting a similar game to when A.J. Green was in against the Ravens in week 1.
And what did he do?
5 for 37.
Okay.
4 for 37.
All right, but that, I mean, he had a crummy game last week, crummy game then against Cincinnati.
But last week he had a lot of targets.
Right.
This week, the week 1 game, he had 5.
Right. But if A.J. Green doesn't play, then he'll get a lot of targets.
Then he'll get a lot of targets, but he's also going to get Jimmy Smith.
I think the Ravens probably could end up doing that.
They moved him around to number one guys, as far as I understand, each of the last 2 games.
Mm-hmm. The Bengals got away from using Giovanni Bernard last week. He had 15 or more touches in every game this season until 9 last week, and it's a tough matchup against Baltimore. I'm not as high on Gio as I normally am. Normally, he's a fixture in my top 12 at running back, but this week I've got him at 18th. Jamie, you also have him at 18th, so I'm going to assume that you agree with me that this is going to be a tough matchup for him. I think he could do a lot of his damage as a pass catcher. Now, you give him the type of receptions and targets that Brandon Oliver had yesterday, and I think he could have a good game. But I don't think he's going to be able to run much, if at all. So I think Giovanni Bernard's a guy you've got to weigh your options with. Not expecting a big game from Gio. I'm wondering if you agree with
that. Yeah, I think you just start him on potential this week. You know, you're not starting him on expectation. You're starting him on he's a guy you drafted to be your starter. You know, unless you had a great free agent bonanza the last few weeks of Hillman and Oliver and, you know, maybe you want to go the Bryce Brown or Trey Mason route or Denard Robinson route. I'd start Bernardo, those guys, but I can understand wanting to go a different direction. But, you know, along those lines of you've been, you know, picking up guys along the way. You've had Bradshaw on your bench. You've, you know, Lamar Miller's on your team. You know, then you can get away from Gio this week. And just to give you an idea, I don't know what it's been consistently, but his start percentage right now is 89%.
Yeah, usually it's higher than
that. I would imagine he's somewhere in the mid-90s. And he did have a good game against Baltimore week 1. He had 6 catches for 62 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that along with 40 yards rushing. That's
right.
10 fantasy points. You'll be happy with that as really a solid number 2. Certainly better than what happened to him last week.
Justin Forsett is better than a solid number 2, if you ask me. He's been getting a lot of work in that Cincinnati linebacker core. I'm not exactly sure where Vontaze Burfict is in his
practice yesterday.
He practiced, so he might play, but he's been pulled out of games early the last couple of weeks too.
Well, he got hurt.
Right. Well, I think that could happen again. Well, but he's got like this neck issue and concussion issues, and you know, I'm wondering if that's going to play into it a little bit. I like Forsett this week. I think Pierce is a guy. If you're looking for 6 or 7 points, I think he might be able to deliver it for you.
He's got a score.
Right. I think he can.
I don't know if Forsett will. That's my concern. So I think you're going to get a very good total yardage number. It's just hard to say he's going to score a touchdown. You know, he's done it. He hasn't done it his last 2 games, and he's had very good numbers. So I think that's kind of where he is.
No receiver in their last four games have put up 10 fantasy points against the Bengals. That's, is that right? That possibly can't be right.
What was the question?
How receivers have done against Cincinnati in their last four games. I'll double-check that set. That doesn't seem right to me. But what do you think about Steve Smith this week and Torrey Smith, and how comfortable would you be starting them?
Steve Smith, I would start. I just don't know that you're going to, you know, find a lot of people that have Steve Smith on their team that say that you have a lot of better options. Granted, he wasn't drafted late or picked up off waivers, so you may be in that situation. But, I mean, Steve Smith's been pretty consistent, you know, so I would stick with him. He obviously had a great game against them in week one, mm-hmm. you know, 7 for 118 and a touchdown. I think you'll see them have to throw mm-hmm. at times. It's just a matter of where Flacco will get his second touchdown from, because that's usually been the case with him on the road.
Now, what's interesting is that in the last two games, the Bengals have allowed 36 fantasy points to wide receivers, just overall wide receivers. But the stat was right. No wide receiver has had more than 10 fantasy points in their last four games. The last guy to have more than 10 fantasy points against them, Julio Jones, had 88 yards and a touchdown. That was back in week two. So that Cincinnati secondary does a good job. Steve Smith and Torrey Smith, I think that they're a little bit risky this week.
Well, there is a pretty decent track record, though, this year of number one guys against them. Smith in week one, mm-hmm. Julio Jones in week two,
right.
both score touchdowns.
Sure, and then in the last 2 weeks, Kelvin Benjamin and T.Y. Hilton had 10 fantasy points. So if you're looking for 10 from Steve Smith, I think he can
I would take 8. I mean, I think he's in that range of you know, number two receiver. He's not a top 10 guy where he's been, you know, pretty consistently all year, but I think he's a good number two guy.
What about Owen Daniels? Now, he's been missing practice this week. If he gets in there on Friday, do you think, and we're recording this Friday morning for everybody who's listening and not aware, do you think that Owen Daniels can have a good game if he is active?
Yeah, the Ravens seem to think that they're just resting him. At least that's the indication from the reports I read. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think he's in line for, you know, very good production. So you look at the Bengals, they give up the most fantasy points to opposing tight ends. Only 4 touchdowns to tight ends on the season, but they give up a ton of yardage. And you saw last week what the Colts were able to do. Kobe Fleener had a season high in receiving yards. Mm-hmm. Dwayne Allen scored a touchdown. Go back to week one. Dennis Pitta had 10 catches
yeah.
for 80-some-odd yards. And it obviously took 15 targets, but, you know, he still would have had a decent game. Last year against the Bengals, Joe Flacco threw a touchdown at Dallas Clark in the first meeting. Pitta came back for the second meeting at the end of the season. He had 8 catches for 63 yards in that game. Mm-hmm. So Flacco likes to use his tight ends against the Bengals, and I think he will again.
Okay, let's talk about the quarterbacks. Flacco, Dalton, I don't really love either one. Each of the last three quarterbacks to face the Bengals, 275 yards and at least 2 passing touchdowns. But I don't know if Flacco can get there. He hasn't done that well in Cincinnati since his rookie year. I don't really want to trust Flacco this week if I don't have to. He's a good bye week guy. I think that's where it stands.
Yep.
Dalton, without A.J. Green, no dice.
Yeah, I just, right. you know, you saw that last week.
And then then if A.J. Green's also out, then that's got to really help the Ravens' defense, whereas I don't know if the Bengals' defense is worth trusting this week. Just say something if you disagree. Good. Texans-Titans, we have Zach Mettenberger starting for them. What do you think of Zach Mettenberger? And I know no one's going to start him, but does it change your opinion of Kendall Wright, of Justin Hunter, and of Delanie Walker?
I think it gives Hunter a little bit of upside just because a strong arm quarterback, and you figure that they'll try and, you know, maybe take some shots down the field. Walker makes me nervous because of the matchup as much as anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I think
Texans have been very good against tight ends.
Yeah, no one's gotten to more than 8 fantasy points. That's with 2 touchdowns being scored against them. So I think you look at these guys as, to me, it's almost all hands off mm-hmm. Until you see something. I think you stick with Wright in PPR as a third receiver. Maybe a second guy, just depending on how you've been using him. You know, he'll probably be, again, 5 for 50, 6 for 60. If he scores, great. They're not going to get shut out. Somebody's going to do something for them. You know, whether it's Sankey, whether it's Walker, whether it's Hunter, whether it's, you know, Nate Washington. But which one can you say with any sort of confidence, okay, I'm going to start this guy? I'd take a shot on Hunter if I had him. I don't. I would take a shot on Wright in PPR if I had him. I don't. Two leagues where I have Delanie Walker, one I'm starting him. The other one I just made a trade to get Dwayne Allen. So I'm certainly going with Allen over Walker.
The thing that I like about Justin Hunter with Mettenberger is that I think they will take shots. The strength of Mettenberger's game is his arm. He's got a cannon. And I think that if you look at how receivers have done against Houston, they've allowed a lot of fast receivers to have big games. Look at T.Y. Hilton just a couple of games ago. Look at Antonio Brown last week, had a big, crazy game, threw a touchdown. I don't think Hunter's throwing any touchdowns. But I think there's a decent opportunity for him to get two or three deep balls in this game and potentially catch one for a long score. I like Hunter a little bit better in the FanDuel one-week type deal than I would in a regular fantasy league. He's a good value in that. And I think if you're really desperate and hurting at wide receiver, Hunter is a gamble that you could choose to take. What about Bishop Sankey? I'll say it. I don't really want to trust him. We don't know if Sean Green's going to end up playing this week. Do you know the latest on Sean Green?
I believe they're expecting him to go.
Oh, that'll help Bishop Sankey out a lot.
I don't know what will come of it until we see what happens in practice today.
Okay. I'm done with Bishop Sankey. I don't want him on my fantasy lineup. He can sit on my bench for a while, and we'll wait again. It's been disappointing. And then Ken Wisenhunt said he was frustrated with Bishop Sankey after he messed up on a play last week.
Killing the clock. Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins, Andre Johnson. We talk about them every week. Last week we saw Hopkins have another 100-yard game, fumbled in the game, so he only ended up with 8 fantasy points. And Andre Johnson, 5 catches, 77 yards against the Steelers. What do you think of these guys? I feel like they're number 3 receivers who, you know, I think the safer pick is Hopkins between the two. But I don't know if I really love going with either guy.
I'm very excited about Hopkins this week. I've seen a Tennessee secondary that's been miserable against receivers all season long, and he clearly has put up very good production throughout the course of the year. 5 of 7 games, either 100 yards or a touchdown. And I think I don't think there's anything that Tennessee will throw at them that will stop one of these guys. I agree with you. Hopkins is the better of the two because he's the big play guy of the two. But I wouldn't even have a problem starting Andre Johnson because the Texans came out and said, or at least Ryan Fitzpatrick said, that he felt he didn't get Andre going early enough in that game. So
I think there'll be an emphasis on targeting him.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets, you know, a couple catches early in the first quarter. Maybe, you know, has a 4 or 5 catch first half. But I still think Hopkins is the better big play guy, and they give up a lot of big plays to receivers.
Johnson's averaging 9 targets per game, just has 1 touchdown this year, 2 games with over 90 receiving yards. Everything else is south of 80 yards. And he hasn't scored on Tennessee in his last 5 games.
Yeah, he's got a real bad history against
them. Yeah, so I wonder if Jason McCourty is just going to stick on Andre Johnson and Tennessee takes their chances with Hopkins against the likes of Bleedy, Ray Wilson, and their other defensive backs. Arian Foster, you're starting. Ryan Fitzpatrick, you're not. Do you care for either defense in this game? And before you answer that question, I'll let you know that Jadeveon Clowney does expect to play for the Houston Texans.
Even if he doesn't play, I think they're going to be able to get after Mettenberger. You know, young quarterbacks typically tend to hold the ball a little bit too long. Young quarterbacks that try to throw the ball down the field, even worse. So I think you'll see J.J. Watt have a couple sacks. And if Clowney plays, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. They're going to struggle to run the ball. Like I said, it's not necessarily a great situation for the Titans offense. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that the Texans DSC should be great.
Okay, let's talk about the battle for Florida, the Dolphins and the Jaguars. And Denard Robinson was a receiver who broke out last week.
Running back.
Well, in some leagues you can use him as a wide receiver. True. On CBS you can use him as a running back. Fine. We'll call him a running back. He's definitely a running back. And he had 22 carries last week against the Browns. We hyped up Trey Mason and Bryce Brown quite a bit. We didn't really talk as much about Denard Robinson. I think it's because he got kind of lucky in the game against Cleveland and because Jacksonville played with the lead. I don't see that happening here. I think he'll get the most carries of any running back in Jacksonville. Toby Gerhart might play. Storm Johnson might have a role. I know they like Denard Robinson a lot. I just don't know if he's going to be even half as good as he was last week against the Cleveland Browns. So if you picked him up, I think he's fine to put on your bench. I don't think he's worth starting this week unless you're desperate.
Yeah, I surprised at like some of the hype. Like I'm looking at Fantasy Pros right now while you were talking. Just want to see where people have him ranked. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14,
you are
15,
so good at counting.
16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28.
Can you get to 30?
It's like 30, I'll say 33, 34. Analysts in our industry that have him ranked in their top 24. I'm going to assume you and I tend to typically agree on stuff like this.
Yeah, I've got him ranked. I don't have him ranked in my top 24.
No, neither do
I've got him at 27. You've got him at 30.
There's a handful of people that have him ranked lower than us, but we are toward the bottom.
Okay.
I don't understand the confidence this week. I definitely think you pick him up. I definitely think you sit him on your bench.
If you've got him already, stick with him.
Yeah, you see what happens. But like you said, lucky's probably the best way to describe it. How often are they going to be playing from a lead in the fourth quarter where they can rely on their ground game? How often are they going to play such a bad tackling opponent or just a bad opponent in general? I don't know their schedule in front of me. But you think about what happened to them in some of their earlier games. He had a 9-carry game. He had an 8-carry game. They've been trying to get him going. It's not like they've just said, okay, here you go, Toby Gerhard. Here's 30 carries. Or here you go, Storm Johnson. Here's 30 carries. They've been giving Robinson work. It's not like a Mason situation or what's going to be a Bryce Brown situation where these guys just didn't touch the ball and then all of a sudden,
right.
Here we go.
And it's not like the Dolphins' defense is suddenly missing key pieces. I know that last week Matt
Forte
had a
monster
play. Game. That's a factor, but I don't think that's a big factor.
No, I mean, you look at it, one running back has beat them up. And I mean, beat them up. And that was Nile Davis.
Well, they Forte had 22 fantasy points last week.
But he caught the ball a lot. That's the difference.
Robinson doesn't really do that.
No, and you look at they did a good job against Eddie Lacy. They've done a good job against guys that just try to run the ball. And so I think there's an opportunity for Robinson here. I have no problem if you're stuck to flex him this week.
Do you think he gets in at the goal line if Toby Gerhardt's healthy?
No.
Right.
And
so
Gerhardt's going to play.
That's a role that he won't get.
Or
won't
Storm
get
Johnson. They did it last week. Storm
well,
Johnson
I mean, they each
Johnson.
Had one. But I think that there's just too many roles that Robinson won't have. So I'm comfortable having him where I have him ranked. And he's not a top 24 running back. And if you want further convincing, go to the Fantasy Football Today blog. Our Chris Towers did an extensive breakdown on Robinson's game. And he also believes that Robinson isn't going to have a good game. What do you think about the Jaguars receivers? Last week, the Dolphins, I know the stats say that they did a great job against the Bears wide receivers. And obviously they did, and they deserve some credit for it. But I also feel like the Bears' offense kind of imploded.
Sure.
So I don't want to give full credit
imploded.
To the Dolphins' defense. But that being said, I don't think either guy is really worth starting as maybe a PPR flex anyway.
I am in a league where Calvin Johnson has been ruining me. And I actually have had to start the last 2 weeks both of the two starting receivers for the Jaguars. It's PPR, so it helps. But Cecil Shorts and Allen Robinson. Thankfully, I have Emmanuel Sanders in that league, so he got me off to a good start. So, yeah, I think their PPR guys at best. And just a little piece of news, Reggie Bush did not practice on Friday, but
so,
he says he's going to play.
What an annoying deal that is. Because
not
he
really.
Keeps not practicing. And
you,
then
just,
he says
you, can't start, you can't start him.
I know that, but I want to start Joik Bell.
Oh,
and I want to start him
Joik
with
Bell.
Supreme confidence.
You're still starting Joik
Bell.
Hopefully. With supreme confidence.
Yeah, you know what? And even if Bush doesn't play, there's going to be somebody there to take some carries away. So that's just life in the Detroit backfield. Moving or sticking with the Jaguars. I kind of like Clay Harbor as a sleeper this week, just based on the track record
sure.
of the Dolphins
mm-hmm.
against tight ends.
He's played well
and, you know, keeps getting targets. I think there's risk with him, but maybe you're in a pinch at tight end and you need somebody to go with. I think Clay Harbor is a guy to do that with. Playing against the Jaguars is Ryan Tannehill. And if you take the average of the last three games for every quarterback in the National Football League, Tannehill ranks 7th best in fantasy points per game. That's pretty good. There are pessimistic Dolphins fans, such as Joy Taylor, who believe that the Dolphins are, you know, what they do is they get a great matchup and then they crash and burn, and Tannehill's going to have a letdown game this week, and that's just what they do. I don't know if I'm ready to believe that because Jacksonville's defense, one, they lost Paul Posluszny for the year. That's actually going to help out Lamar Miller a lot more than anything else. But Andre Branch is one of their pass rushers, maybe their best pass rusher. He's not going to play in this game, or at least he's not expected to as of Friday morning. I think Tannehill has a good opportunity to get over 20 fantasy points again. He is my favorite bye week quarterback this week if you're missing Eli or Colin Kaepernick.
I'd start him over Ryan. I'd start him over Stafford. I'd start him over Foles. I'd start him over Dalton, Roethlisberger, Cam. I mean, I don't think it's just bye week replacement. I think it's, you know, if he's on waivers and you can carry two quarterbacks and you're willing to start somebody who's hot, there's no better reason to trust him this week. Now, he's never had four games in a row in his career with 20 or more fantasy points. It's obviously a small career, but I think there's reason for optimism in a lot of ways.
His ownership has really popped this week. It was below 50% when the week started. Now it's at 70%. 32% of CBSSports.com fantasy owners are ready to start Ryan Tannehill. That's according to the stats that we have. I think at this point, Lamar Miller is pretty much a must start. I think everybody's going with him. Same thing with Mike Wallace. Scored again last week. He is very touchdown dependent, but I think he can score against this Jaguars secondary. I'm not really afraid of anything there. And then Charles Clay had a big game last week. I think it had a lot to do with the matchup, more so than anything else that Charles Clay did. It's not like he had way more targets or anything like that. Still kind of a mediocre game for Clay, except he found the end zone. So I don't know if I'm really counting on him. I love the Dolphins DST. They're still out there in a handful of leagues as well. Anything else that you want to add to this game?
Nope.
Let's move on then to the next game on the docket. It's going to be the Bills and the Jets. New look offenses, both sides of the ball. The Jets get Percy Harvin. The Bills get new running backs, mm-hmm. Bryce Brown and Anthony Dixon. And I think we come out the same way on the Bills running backs. We see that Dixon could start, might be the two-minute guy, certainly going to be the goal line guy. But Bryce Brown has all sorts of potential, hasn't played yet this year. I feel like there's a reason for that. And
he doesn't play on special teams.
He doesn't. That's part of it. I'm a little nervous to start him this week. I'm very happy to have him on my team.
Agreed.
Kind of the same boat, I would say, with Denard Robinson, except if I had to start one of those two, Brown would get in ahead of Robinson, even though the Jets' run defense, they're supposed to be great against the run.
They are good against the run.
They just haven't been the past few weeks.
They're not good against running backs. They are good against the run. There's a difference, I think, with them.
Explain that.
Well, you see guys that can do things in different varieties, catching the ball, getting out in space. They're good when you try to run between the tackles on them, mm-hmm. which is why Anthony Dixon, I think, is going to need a touchdown to be good in this game. And I don't think he'll get it.
Jets have only allowed one rushing touchdown all year.
So I think you look at it as Bryce Brown could have an opportunity to, you know, do what the last three running backs against them have done. Not to the same level, because I don't think you're going to get a Brandon Oliver performance. I don't think you're going to get a Ronnie Hillman performance. And I don't think you're going to get a
Well, now, hold on a second, because Hillman had 116 total yards and no touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't think you get that from Bryce
Brown. So he gets below that from
Bryce
Brown.
Yeah, I think he could get 80 to 90 total yards if everything goes his way.
That would be great as a third receiver or third running back. Why do I keep saying receiver? Third running back.
It would be very good.
And then Dixon just has to score.
It's going to take the work. And I'll just give you the numbers because it's just what the Bills have shown. So there's been 28 on average prior to last week when both got hurt. Jackson and Spiller have combined for 28 touches on a weekly basis, on average. So if that continues, you're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of 14 apiece, you know, slightly favored to one other guy, 16 and 12, you know, 15, 13, however you want to break it down. I think it makes more sense for Buffalo to give the majority to Brown and
Is it just to get him into the swing of things because he hasn't played in a game yet this year?
No, I think it makes more sense for their offense. You know, you referenced Jason Okafor. He said it on our show last night that they need to have some, you know,
explosion
in their offense, and he's the more explosive of the two. Anthony Dixon's a nice player. He certainly does, you know, has explosiveness for his size, but I just don't see him as a guy that's a difference maker. Brown is a difference maker, and we saw in Philadelphia, it didn't take him very long to get acclimated to playing once he got on the field in those first two games, you know, way back when he stepped in for LeSean McCoy.
Let me ask you then to rank the four running backs in this game. So you've got the two guys for Buffalo, and then you've got the Chris's with the Jets, Chris Ivory, Chris Johnson. Rank, who do you like best, and then who do you like the worst?
Ivory's best, Brown second for me. I'd go Dixon third, and then
Johnson
Chris
last time, the exact same way. And so Chris Ivory, he's got a tough matchup too. Bills have been tough against the run. Jerick McKinnon had a good game against them. But I think the Jets kind of discovered what they're best at, and that's a nice, simple offense. And now they're adding a new wrinkle into it with Percy Harvin. And I think that might shake up Buffalo's defense a little bit because they see Percy Harvin, you know, whether it's on a jet sweep or line up in the slot, they're going to be – they have to know when he's on the field. And I wonder if that'll just make the linebackers freeze for just a split second and help Chris Ivory maybe get to the second level a couple more times than he normally would.
He's gotten every time this year where he's had 10 touches. Simple as that. 9 or more fantasy points.
That's interesting.
And so it's not taking a lot of work for him. And the one thing that I look at is last week, Mike Zimmer, coach of the Vikings, challenged his running backs to get 3 yards a carry after contact. Mm-hmm. Which was almost unthinkable, and McKinnon did it. Mm-hmm. You know who led, at least prior to last week, led the NFL?
Ivory.
In yards after
contact?
It's got
to be Ivory.
It's Chris Ivory. So a guy that can sort of move things a little bit and push around a physical defense on his own, I think Ivory's got an opportunity here. I would not be surprised. I don't have it ranked this. I don't have it projected this way. I would not be surprised if he's the first one to score against
the Bills.
Bills.
Wouldn't surprise me either. And I think that that's kind of what the Jets want to do. And, I mean, you've heard us say ground and pound with the Jets the whole time. Okay, so Percy Harvin's in New York. How quick are you to start him in fantasy football?
I'm not, obviously. I gave him some numbers, you know, I think 60 or 70 total yards, because I do think that they'll try and do something with him. You know, Rex Ryan said, don't expect, you know, 50% of the snaps.
Right.
But I still think that he's the type of player, that's the type of team, you know, but we just got the shiny new toy. Here's right. what we're going to do with him. And also, he obviously knows there's a huge target on his back right now as being a malcontent, as being, you know, shipped around now to three different teams in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to, in New York, in a favorable matchup. I know he's not thinking this, but I think you just look at it, the circumstances. He understands that the Bills' defense is vulnerable.
Right.
And so I would think, just give me five touches. Just give me three touches, and I'll make something happen.
Right.
Whether he does or he doesn't, it's hard to say. But I do think that you're going to see an opportunity for him to do something. So it's too risky to trust him. I'm holding Percy Harvin. I actually got a trade offer after the trade of Andre Johnson for Percy Harvin. I know what Andre Johnson is. And yes, he's better than Percy Harvin. But I don't know what Percy Harvin could be in New York. And so I said no.
Okay.
I want to see what he has. And so I'll take the risk of...
It's funny how people tried to trade Percy Harvin after... It happened in real life.
Well, I think people realize that. Actually, I think it's the second trade offer I got. I might have gotten in the same league another offer as well.
Involving Harvin.
It was Keenan Allen for Harvin.
Hmm.
And so.
Maybe you should have done that one.
Maybe. But again, I don't know what I have.
Right.
And so Harvin's not a must starter for me. The other two guys wouldn't have been a must starter for me.
Right.
And so if he does become this weapon, you know,
right.
maybe 2011 Percy Harvin shows up again. Like you said, they're going to do some things creatively. We've seen Marty Mornowig do some things creatively with their offense already. You know, playing both quarterbacks at the same time, the Wildcat. You know, doing some things, player here or there. But Harvin can be on the field all the time, and that would make it a real interesting scenario for them.
I think it actually helps Eric Decker that he's on the field too. I think it helps everybody else, but it doesn't really help Harvin. I know that doesn't make a lot
sure.
of sense, but I'm not ready to start Harvin this week. Decker, I'm still starting. You look at the Bills, they've allowed at least one touchdown to an opposing receiver in every single game
Number
this
one
season.
Guys have done well against
Yeah, so Decker, to me, is pretty much a must-start. The tight ends with the Jets, I'm not trusting. I'm not trusting Geno Smith. What about Kyle Orton? How do you feel about him? How do you feel about Sammy Watkins? The matchup seems ideal, and Orton has been good, just not amazing. Since he's come to Buffalo.
I think you look at him as if you need him, you start him. I think he's got I'd start him over Cam. I'd start him over Ryan. I'd start him over Roethlisberger. I think there's an opportunity for him. The numbers suggest that he's going to throw probably 30 to 35 times, if not more, if they're trailing.
And he's been getting close to 300 or over 300, I think, in each of his three starts.
I believe he's been 299 or better in each one.
Well, that would be 300.
So you look at the – The way that he's turned Chris Hogan into a decent receiver.
And a real American.
he's gotten Scott Chandler revived a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you saw last week what Sammy Watkins' potential could be when he's getting those targets. And he got the targets in the first start against Detroit, but it was just a tougher matchup.
Right.
So I think you look at it as Sammy Watkins is probably going to score. Good chance to score at least.
I agree. I like him.
And if he finds the second touchdown, which I think he will, that's the weakness. You know, we could talk all about the running backs that have done well against the Jets. Well, receivers have done amazing, and quarterbacks have done amazing against the Jets
yes.
all season long. So I think this is a good opportunity for Orton, certainly in two quarterback leagues. And again, I'll take him over Stafford. I'm sorry, I'll take him over Ryan. I'll take him over Dalton. I'll take him over Cam. I'll take him over Roethlisberger.
And now you know that because Bryce Brown's going to play and he might end up having a lot of catches, that would also help Kyle Orton that he hasn't done that. And you know, the only thing I'll say about Orton is it feels like there's kind of a ceiling with him where he might not do any better than like 21 fantasy points. So I kind of like upside receiver, upside quarterbacks, guys who have it like Cam, Mike Lennon, even Alex Smith. I'll take him ahead of Orton. But Matt Ryan, Ben Roethlisberger, Joe Flacco, I've got them all ranked behind Kyle Orton this week. And I think that's all we've got for this game. I don't think you really want to talk about Robert Woods or Scott Chandler.
No.
Oh, Bills DST. Do you trust them against the Jets, or do you think that they're going to be just kind of so-so?
I think they're okay. You know, they were a little disappointing last week. You know, the one thing is it depends on which Geno Smith shows up. So if you had the Bills DST for the last, you know, week, hoping Minnesota would, you know, lead to great things, I think they're okay. I think they're kind of top 12, top 10 by default.
How's that website that you're building for me coming along? The I Love David R.
Dave R. It's great. Yeah. Love it.
Is it good?
Mm-hmm.
Are you building it with Squarespace?
Of course.
That's where you can go to easily create your own professional website or online portfolio, starting at just $8 a month. It includes a free domain name when you sign up for a year. And you know what they did? They actually improved their support staff. They added 100 employees on the customer care team based in New York City. And according to the notes that they sent me, I just want to read this because I think it's funny. Their office has been nicknamed the Care Bear Lair.
Nice.
I think that's kind of funny that they're calling it the Care Bear Lair. I like it. I like it a lot. You can start a free trial to Squarespace with no credit card required. Build your website today. When you do sign up, make sure to use the offer code FUN to get 10% off. And if you have a problem, you just call up the Squarespace Care Bear Lair. And, you know, every time that you build a website, it's going to look good on a laptop, on a desktop, on a movie screen, on your cell phone, on your tablet. And they've got all sorts of different designs for you to start with. Tons of style options that you need. Every design, it's going to be great. Thank you, Squarespace. Don't forget, the offer code is FUN to get 10% off. Let's move on to more AFC home games on the Fantasy Football Today podcast. How about a show-me state battle?
Sure.
Rams-Chiefs. I wonder if Andy Reid is going to be tempted to let Alex Smith throw downfield, knowing what we know about that Rams secondary and how nice they are to allowing lots of passing yardage and passing touchdowns. Do you roll the dice on Dwayne Bowe this week? And I'll give you my answer first. I think he can. I think it happens. I think that there's a pretty good chance that you'll see Dwayne Bowe come up with decent numbers this week.
So you changed your tune.
I did change my tune. I think that Bowe is actually a decent start this week if you're feeling risky.
I think he's a good number three. I don't know how much of a top 25. You know, he's kind of a top 30-ish.
Where do you have him ranked?
I think maybe 31 or 32.
Yeah. We're not too far apart. You've got him 30th. I've got him 27th.
It's just a matter of what your trust factor is. Like, you know, the person looking at Mohamed Sanu and all those targets, if A.J. Green is out versus Dwayne Bowe, and I don't know what could happen with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to me, Bowe is almost in the same vein we were talking about the Titans guys. Someone's going to do well for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Is it guaranteed to be Dwayne Bowe? And that's the problem. Because yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Alex Smith has a touchdown to Jamal Charles, touchdown to... which would be a surprise because of tight ends, but you still get a touchdown. They
like
just don't
Kelsey
get
the, or Fasano.
Fasano, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to make everybody happy and say, yeah, Kelsey maybe
like,
gets a touchdown.
Like Fasano scores or it's, you know, just something screwy. It, you know, DeAnthony Thomas gets another touchdown. You just never know with them.
I feel like Alex Smith could have a silly game like that. I think you're right. I think it's possible that you could do that. And that's why I just feel like Bowe is his best receiver, most targeted guy.
Bowe should be – the way I projected Bowe was kind of what he did last week,
mm-hmm.
80 yards receiving. I think that's kind of where he is. If he scores, it's going to be great. He just doesn't find the end zone very often anymore.
Are you trusting Travis Kelce or do you look at the matchup with the Rams?
No, I'm not trusting Kelce. First of all, he's banged up. He's been limited in practice all week.
Mm-hmm.
His usage has been, you know, so up and down, and now it's trending down again, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't understand coming off their bye week. And there's a very good sample size of tight ends against the Rams. In their last 38 games, four guys have gotten double digits in fantasy points.
Right.
And that's...
could he creep into the top 12 with eight fantasy points?
It would be fine. And I would have no problem if he does get to eight, which would make him a top 12 guy, unless things just happen on a freakish nature. And I wouldn't be surprised if at this point he scores more than Julius Thomas. So,
the bold call.
I just don't see it, you know, based on what the Chiefs do.
Okay. Let's turn around and look at that Rams offense. How much do you trust Trey Mason compared to some of the other running backs like Chris Ivory, Bryce Brown, Denard Robinson? Is he in that mix or is he worse than that?
He's better than Robinson. I have him behind all the other guys. I'm taking the potential of Bryce Brown over Mason this week because I think they're both in similar matchups.
Mm-hmm.
I think Brown's is tougher, but I think his talent level is better, and I think his offense is better. I think you're going to see the Bills in a much more competitive situation with the chance to play from the lead than the Rams.
Sure, but at the same time, I think Mason might get more work than Bryce Brown.
Oh, I think that's almost a given if things go their way. Because if they're trailing, he does.
He won't even be on the field. It'll
horrible
be Benny Cunningham.
In pass protection. Now, right. Benny Cunningham showed up on the injury report, which could help Trey Mason. He actually showed up on the injury report on Thursday, which means something happened to him in practice. So if
that's
for whatever
something to
reason,
keep an eye on Friday when we get the
if he doesn't practice on Friday, then I will change my tune and I will like Mason better.
Or do you think Zach Stacy actually ends up working on some
of
those third down roles?
I think that overlooking Zach Stacy is all of a sudden being done is a mistake because he is not Daryl Richardson. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to Stacy last year was Daryl Richardson was a horror show. And so it was easy for the Rams to just go, bye-bye, flick him away, and we can go with this young rookie that we drafted to be our guy.
Right.
This is not the case. Stacy was playing very well before this calf problem. I should say very well. He's playing okay before the calf problem. Mm-hmm. He had two very good games before their bye week, or at least two productive games before their bye week. Now, look, is he Trey Mason's ability to break runs? No. But he, you know, that fumble at the end of the game could be something that comes back to haunt Mason.
Well, maybe.
I know they recovered it.
I thought about it.
But still, that
I wonder if
could
they just
be.
Use it as a teaching point,
could
not
sure.
something that they
but,
used to get him
But on. If he can't pass protect, mm-hmm. and if he's going to have fumbling issues, as electric as he may be, that could – I'm just saying it could bite him. I hate this because I know I'm probably coming across all week long as being negative against Trey Mason. I just see it very similar to Jacksonville as how often are they going to be playing from the
right.
front late in games.
I'm not. I don't even want to think about a long-term deal here with Trey Mason.
Yeah, I don't
want
to start.
Let's just look at it
no,
just for this.
Can't start him this week.
You don't think you can
no,
start?
No, you can't.
Mason this week.
You just need to sort of wait. Well, it depends what your roster is, obviously, but you just need to sort of look at it and say, Chiefs. There's two teams that haven't allowed a touchdown to running back. Mm-hmm. They're one of them.
Right.
They
do allow a lot of yardage.
They do allow a lot of yardage, but teams tend to sort of get away from the run against them. And I think you see Kansas City, they're going to be very ball control oriented.
Yep.
I think they're going to have success moving the ball against this Rams defense, especially with Jamaal Charles, who I think has a great game this week. I just don't see Mason, if it's a 10-point deficit by halftime, having a huge role.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
He's still going to be a number two running back for me because I think I think it'll be there. I think he'll have those opportunities. So I'm not as concerned, but I don't want to put him too much higher in the rankings. And then Brian Quick, I don't think you can trust him at this point.
Nope. Cut.
You think you cut him?
I did.
I don't know if I'd cut him, but I'm wondering why his targets have gone down.
Because Austin Davis does not know how to look through his progression.
So it's really more of a quarterback issue
yeah.
than anything else.
Well, I mean, look, the kid is talented. You know, I don't think that you could argue and look at his physical ability and say he's not a talented player.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I know we were probably too quick to label, the next Josh Gordon.
On Brian Quick.
Yeah, it's just, it's.
Well, I mean, listen, Josh Gordon had targets.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at Quick, three of his first four games, nine targets. I believe three of his last four have been like five or less. Mm-hmm. I'll look it up, but it's really rough right now for him.
It's nasty. And so Austin Davis, I don't think he ranks well, even with the other guys that we've talked about as bye week quarterbacks. Were you impressed by the Rams DST last week to consider them against Kansas City as
no.
a DST option? What about the Kansas City DST against St. Louis?
They'd be okay. I think, look, that team on the road, I just don't, they don't impress me.
Yeah, I don't love either one, but I think they're both okay. Like, if you're really in a pinch and if you're streaming, then I think that they're both just kind
of
okay.
Yeah, so Quick, three of his first four games, at least, or nine targets in three of the four. And then three of his last four, which is the last nine target game, if that makes any sense, four targets or less.
We've got three games to go, but before we get to Bears, Patriots, Raiders, Browns, and Colts, Steelers, I want to tell you about FanDuel, who just upped their Sunday Million tournament to $2.5 million guaranteed. For $25, you enter a tournament with over 100,000 other people with a chance to walk away with $500,000. That is the prize for first place. Jamie, what would you do with $500,000?
I'd buy you lunch.
Would it be like a fancy lunch, or are we talking about like Chipotle?
Whatever you want.
Now, that's what I'm talking about, because I will make it a big-time steak lunch. I'm rooting for Jamie to win, but someone's going to do it. Probably... Maybe Jamie, are you entering? Are you playing the Sunday Million this week for $25?
No, I do the $500,000 tournament for $10.
So wait a minute, you're not going to try the Sunday Million with what they're doing and what they're putting in? You don't want to take a shot at half
I'll
a
settle,
ticket?
I'll settle for $40,000 or whatever the payout is.
All right, well, I'll play in the Sunday Million, and if you do sign up at FanDuel, you can use this code CBSWIN. They'll match your first deposit up to $200. FanDuel.com. You can do it before Sunday's game. Click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Enter code CBSWIN. Then enter the Sunday Million Tournament. $25. You might walk away with 500 Gs. And I believe, I want to say something like 21st thousandth place still doubles their money. So if you finish in 21st thousandth place.
Wow.
Thousandth or thousand. I don't know what I'm saying. But if you finish in the top 21,000, you still win a cash prize, which isn't bad. You can finish in the top 21,000, can't you, Jamie?
I hope so.
I would hope so. But you're not playing in that tournament, so we'll never know. That's crazy to think of. All right, let's talk about this Bears-Patriots game. Should be high scoring. Should be lots of fun, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much defense there's going to be. The Patriots, obviously, they've got their secondary and they've got their guys, and that'll help them out. But they lost Chandler Jones. I think that's a big loss for them. And not having that pass rush on Jay Cutler could really hurt them. And I think the Bears kind of bounced back a little bit after last week. They really couldn't get things going. And I think we've seen it before from Cutler, where he has a bad game and then he bounces back the very next week. We know he's going to have to throw in the game. I like the chances of both Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey, with Alshon the one I like better of the two. But I like them both to rebound and have a big game against New England.
What if you knew Revis was covering one of them?
If it was Jeffrey, I wouldn't have a problem with it. If it was Marshall, I would have a problem with it.
But do you think that Cutler, being Cutler, would either A, challenge him, or B, just know that he has such a superior matchup on the other side of the field and stay away from Revis? Because I would
most
think...
Most quarterbacks tend to stay away from Revis.
Well, most quarterbacks don't have two guys like this.
Yeah, it's true.
And so it's a different situation, like when Kyle Orton is facing the Patriots and Sammy Watkins is getting taken away.
Right.
He will.
The Patriots can't do that.
No, I'm saying, you know, Kyle Orton is going to have to rely on Chris Hogan and these guys and, you know, just sort of piece it together. And he did. Mm-hmm. Cutler can just say, okay, I have a very good tight end. Forget about 1 month of this, but I have a very good tight end. And I have an elite receiver on the other side that I can get my production from. Plus, my running back catches, you know, a ton of passes out of the backfield, too. Mm-hmm. So it would make me nervous if I knew it. And I would think, logically, it would make sense to take away Marshall. Because
that's the security blanket for Cutler.
Right. And you would just think, okay, here's what happened last week. The argument, you figure they're going to try and rectify things. Mm-hmm. So let's make that uncomfortable for them even more.
Maybe so. And that, I mean, that's the basis of why you like Alshon better than Marshall. I just think he's the better playmaker at this point. They'll both do it, but I think that Alshon, his speed makes a difference.
Yeah, I think so. I just think that if they leave Revis on one side, because they've moved Marshall into a slot mm-hmm. sometimes this year. And if Revis just stays on one side and they try and, you know, just get Marshall going, Marshall's going to have a big game.
They tend to do that. They tend to keep Revis on at, I believe, the left cornerback side. So he's on the right side of the Bears offense. It's going to be interesting to see how the Bears attack that. Martellus Bennett also could be a factor in the game. We've started to see the Patriots struggle with tight ends this season. Mm-hmm. They've given up at least 10 fantasy points to three of the last four they faced. Bennett has 12 catches, 21 targets, 127 yards, no touchdowns over his last three games. I would trust him over guys like Kelce and Delanie Walker, but I'm not giving him much more leash than that. So I think he's a startable tight end. But I almost wonder if he can't get it done this week, if it's time to bench him and find somebody else to go with.
I think, you know, it just depends on what you're talking about. Like, if you were the Jordan Reed, Martellus Bennett owner, you're starting Jordan Reed. If you're the Clay Harbor, Martellus Bennett owner, I'm still starting Martellus Bennett.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's Forte, you're starting. Cutler, where does he rank for you among fantasy quarterbacks? Is he still a top 10 guy?
Yeah, you have to stick with him.
Okay.
I mean, like, I have one league, I have Cutler and Romo. I'm starting Romo. But, you know, the other leagues where I have Cutler, I didn't pick up anybody else.
I think Brady's big numbers are going to continue, which means you've got to like his receivers to a degree. I don't think that Brandon LaFell and Julian Edelman are going to end up as
just never know where it's coming
guys.
From.
You don't know. But anytime Brady's going to have to throw it, and I really think it might end up being this way for many of their games this
but
year.
But does he have to throw it, though?
I don't know if they can run it. I don't know if Shane Vereen can be a guy who can who can handle 16-plus carries a game.
But if he gets 14 like he did last week.
I'm not saying Vereen's a bad play.
No. I'm just saying, if he gets 14 like he did last week.
14 carries like he did last week, he should be fine.
But what would you say?
But I also think he'll get 14 for
he's probably 16. Around four yards a carry.
Yeah. I mean, there's been some games this year where he's been well below 4 yards per carry.
Well, but he hasn't gotten work. I mean, they need rhythm.
I don't know if he'll get that opportunity.
To get 14 carries?
To get 16, 17, 18 carries in a game.
Oh, I would think 15 is probably the cap.
Jonas Gray or something like that. Yep. And I don't know if Jonas Gray can get it done. So I really think it's going to fall on Brady to keep the offense moving.
I totally agree with you, including
this one.
I just look at it as I would not be surprised if they do what they've been doing in the first part of the game. Build a lead, try and keep that Bears offense off the field. They know their defense is in a weakened state right now without Jones. Mm-hmm. And Belichick obviously is a very matchup game-specific coach. So do they do what they've been doing, don't tinker with anything, and then, okay, now we're up, now let's see if we can run the ball and see if they could punish that Bears defense, which is banged up still. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if Brady gets – and I don't have a project this way. I'm projecting to have a good game, which is what makes me – the only thing that makes me nervous is the receivers because Edelman is not a touchdown guy. LaFell is so helter-skelter.
Yeah, I kind of like LaFell.
I don't mind him this week.
Yeah, actually, I think I like him better than Edelman.
I can understand that. It's just a matter of does he score and does Edelman score? Because Gronk, I think, will get his.
I think Gronk eats up the Bears.
He should.
Go right after those
series. And I would not be surprised if Vereen has a receiving touchdown again. Mm-hmm. Because that's kind of what Brady does.
Right.
You know, so.
And that's easy for him to do because if the Bears know that the Patriots are going to throw and they're looking downfield and maybe Gronk gets in their head a little bit after he has a bunch of big
looking
catches.
Looking downfield with the Patriots is kind of a misnomer. They don't look downfield.
Well, but I think the Patriots can try and establish that a little bit with Gronk. And now with LaFell, and who knows if Brian Timms is used for a shot or two.
Sure, they can take a shot, yes.
And so I think Vereen could very much eat them up underneath on passes, especially if they do have a hard time running the football. Patriots defense normally is a great option, but I don't know if I would trust them this week against Chicago. Bears should be able to get 21 points plus 300 total yards without breaking a sweat. Jamie, tell me why you like Darren McFadden as we look at the Raiders and the Browns.
Denard Robinson just became Jim Brown last week, against that Browns defense. And McFadden, you know, as long as he's healthy, you look at his numbers throughout his career, he's been pretty decent. Mm-hmm. And he's healthy right now. He's got a coach that believes in him. I didn't like the fact that the Sperano came out and said they need to get Maurice Jones-Drew going. Why, I don't understand. You know, I'm sure it's just trying to make a veteran happy. But McFadden, if he got anywhere close to 20 carries at the numbers he's been producing the last 2 weeks under Sperano, I think he could have a monster game. So if he gives the 14 carries that he's gotten, the couple of catches that he's gotten, at what he's averaging with the chance to score, I think he's probably going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 12 fantasy points. And an upside of 15 to 16. So I think he's a great starting option.
I'm with you. I think he's actually a good starting option, too. I wonder if Sperano said that because he knows that he can't lean on McFadden without worrying about him staying healthy. And so they need a running back to come in and just pitch in 5 to 8 carries a game to kind of
maybe
make
so.
Sure
I,
that
I think it was just
worn down.
I think it was just more of Maurice Jones-Drew is a pretty good locker room guy. Mm-hmm. He's a pretty good teammate by all accounts. And I think it was just, let me say something publicly to make him happy, and we'll give him an extra carry or two.
Okay. That's fine. Any receivers in this game that you feel good about? James Jones is a guy that I think could be sneaky, but I think it takes some guts to go with him.
No, there's none after what happened with Holmes last week. I would agree with you on Jones. It takes some guts.
Yeah. If you want to hear a stat, I got one for you on Jones. All of the 5 receivers who have at least 5 catches against the Browns this year, there's only been 5 who have had 5 catches, but all 5 of them have done 9 fantasy points or better.
Who are those 5?
Some of them are
Antonio
pretty good.
Brown is, I
Brown
think, twice.
Is one. I can,
Brown did twice, or is he, there's different ones?
Now you're going to make me go back and check. How dare you make
I know
me
Brown did it twice.
Brown definitely did it twice. Let's see what I got. I'll look it up.
Allen Robinson would be one.
Right. I'm not saying that this is a great idea.
No, I'm trying to think. I think it's an interesting thing.
Yeah, Allen Robinson was definitely one last week.
Robinson was one. I think Brown twice. So you're saying that there's 4 other, 3 other guys or 2 other guys? 2 other times.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess Brown would count twice. He had 5 for 116 and a touchdown in week one. He had 7 for 118. So he would count twice. You got Steve Smith getting 5 for 101.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Kendall Wright getting 6 for 47 and 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Allen Robinson. Oh, right. Robinson only had 4 catches last week, not 5.
Huh.
And he still managed to do well. I don't want to stand on a soapbox for James Jones.
No, look.
I'm just saying that if you're in a pinch,
sure,
that's another guy you can go with.
Deeper leagues.
Maybe even a sneaker play. He's probably more of a sneaker play than a sneaky play. In FanDuel, Andrew Hawkins had a 100-yard game last week. I don't think anybody's excited to start him unless it's in a PPR league. Jordan Cameron is somebody that I like a lot this week. And if you don't want to go with a stud in FanDuel, I think Cameron's a good guy if you're looking to go cheap.
But based on what?
Because the Raiders secondary took a blow last week with Usama Young going down. They were using Brandon Ross to replace him. He's been terrible in coverage. I love the matchup for him. And I'm kind of hoping that the Browns recognize that and they try and take some shots. I agree that I think they're going to run the ball. And so as much as we like Darren McFadden, I like Ben Tate even more.
Sure.
I think Isaiah Crowell is in the mix as a low-end number two receiver.
If they don't get screwy again with their backup guys.
Right. As long as that doesn't happen. Sure. But
you keep calling running backs receivers.
Why do I do that?
I don't know.
It's too early in the morning for that. I apologize. Isaiah Crowell is a running back for Cleveland, not a wide receiver for Houston or something like that. No one's starting Derek Carr, Brian Hoyer. Nobody's starting the Raiders DST. The Browns DST is not a bad choice. Raiders defenses against the Raiders finished top 12 5 of 6 weeks this season. Our last game, Colts Steelers. Let's talk about the wide receivers in this game. Ahmad Bradshaw and Le'Veon Bell.
They're good.
I think they're good. I think they're pretty much must starts at this point. Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
Tough matchup for him against Indianapolis, and you've kind of recognized this sooner than most people have, just how good this Colts defense is. And I think they're going to be able to get pressure on Roethlisberger and make things tough on him. Tack on the fact that he had Martavis Bryant come up big for him last week, and I don't know if we can count on that every week. Brown will get his numbers, but I wonder if Roethlisberger really isn't that great of a fantasy quarterback. Where does he rank for you, start with against Matt Ryan and then maybe against Matthew Stafford? Where is he in between
he's
those
between,
guys?
He's in between. I think he has like an 18, 19-point game. I wouldn't be surprised at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because he's been at least 18 points or more in his 3 home games. So he has a comfort zone at home. The Colts, obviously, you never know how indoor teams do outdoors. Sometimes they tend to falter. And you look at the Colts defense. Yes, they've been playing very well. But if Roethlisberger is going to throw, let's say, 40 times, he could still get production, you know, so he could have a Mike Lennon type game from a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Getting blasted.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's a horrible play this week, but you look at the Colts track record and the quarterbacks that they face and how they've done. I mean, they shut out 2 quarterbacks in the last 3 weeks in Joe Flacco and Andy Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a situation where I'll buy into the matchup. I don't think Roethlisberger was drafted to be a must start guy. He's an easy guy to get away from this week. I would start Tannehill over him, and I would start Kyle Orton and Alex Smith over him. I think there's more upside with those other two. I'd even consider Mike Glennon over him. I just think you look at Roethlisberger, and it's going to take that second touchdown for
right.
him to have a big game.
And he's had so many games this year without that second touchdown.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he has a Browns game from week one. 385, 1-1.
Because
he's going to throw so much.
Right.
Probably be chasing points. You know, and
but I kind of like the Colts secondary in that case.
But let's not discount, you know, you say Bryant. He got the second touchdown from Le'Veon Bell. Or he got a second touchdown from Le'Veon mm-hmm. Bell. You know, usually you're going to say Brown has the best chance to score, and then who else does it come from? If Le'Veon Bell starts to work more as a receiving threat in the red zone, like we saw in that play last week.
Yeah, that play was because Houston wasn't covering him.
No, but I don't necessarily mean it's the same thing.
Change.
Well, they made the conscious effort to split him out wide, and Swearinger didn't get out fast enough.
Right.
But if they do something similar to just try and get him in space, in, you know, could be a wheel route, could be something else, not necessarily you know, just a quick catch and throw. If they just do something, you know, at the 10, just to get another guy going. Against the Jaguars, Michael Palmer scored a touchdown. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be Brown and Miller or Brown and Wheaton. It could be Bryant. It could be Bell. It could be Palmer. It could be somebody else. You know, Lance Moore has been a good red zone threat for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets
that second one.
But it's just putting it all together, and where Roethlisberger falls, I think, is just going to have to be how you weigh it.
Let's talk about the Colts receivers. And
there's only one.
Do you trust T.Y. Hilton? Because
yes,
I know when he's
outdoors
on grass, you get a
yes.
little worried.
I would say, is he going to have a Houston game? No. Could he get you 80 to 100 total yards? And a touchdown? Yes. He's just going to see so much work, and the Steelers' secondary is not good.
Real quick, Dwayne Allen, Kobe Fleener, where do you stand on these guys?
Allen's a must-start guy. Allen, I think, is top five. The Steelers cannot defend tight ends anymore. If he gets matched up with Polamalu in coverage, goodbye.
Yeah.
And I like what there was the reports earlier in the week out of Indianapolis that Allen said he doesn't feel like he's back to where he was before the hip injury. And I think it's just a combination of he's working himself back into being the player that he hopes he could be. No Reggie Wayne, as we expect. Mm-hmm. So the targets have to go somewhere, whether it's the
I think it helps Fleener, too.
Well, yeah.
It'll help Allen.
I think whether it's Fleener. The combination of Knicks and Moncrief benefiting, mm-hmm. you can't really say one of those guys is good
right.
at this point. But you know what Andrew Luck likes to do.
Right.
And they like to get those tight ends mismatched on linebackers, on safeties. And it's winnable situations for them. And we've said this about Luck all season long. He doesn't necessarily need T.Y. Hilton to have a big game. If T.Y. Hilton has a bad game, Luck's still going to have his numbers.
Right. Colts DST, I like them this week against Pittsburgh, but I don't love them. I think they're just okay. That's going to put a bow on this edition of the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Remember to check out Fantasy Football Today Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern on CBSSports.com or through the CBS Sports app. We can take your calls, answer your tweets, help you get ready for week 8 dominance. For Jamie Eisenberg and the missing Adam Azer, hopefully we find him soon. I'm Dave Richard. Thanks for